Welcome back. Leading off the show, as always, is my good friend Luke Jones, doing great things covering the Orioles, the Ravens, and much more. Luke, welcome in.
Dennis, how are you, my friend? It's great to talk to you as always.
Same here, Luke. We're in full bloom, man. My goodness, since the last time I talked to you, Orioles still doing some great things. Ravens, of course, doing great things on the field as well. The team is evolving. You got some news from the castle, right?
Absolutely. I mean, as you just mentioned, Orioles on the West Coast. So I haven't been, I've been watching late at night, but haven't been around the team. But plenty going on with the Ravens on the heels of their preseason opening win against Philadelphia, which, not a whole lot to take away from that. I mean, we can get into that if you want. But I think the big news Monday ahead of them beginning joint practices with the Washington Commanders was J.K. Dobbins back on the practice field. John Harbaugh says he's 100% healthy. We'll hear from Dobbins at some point, and point blank, he needs to be asked, why weren't you practicing? Because still no one has officially said why. I mean, he was on the PUP list, but John Harbaugh has made no mention of an injury. He said he's healthy now. He was asked why Monday was the day for Dobbins, and John just kind of wanted to leave it alone, which I can understand at this point in time. As I said to you all along, if Dobbins began practicing right around now, he would have, 4 weeks to get ready for the start of the season. I think it gives him plenty of time to acclimate, get plenty of time to ramp up, plenty of time to get back in football shape. And from a team standpoint, get enough time to figure out how he fits and how to best optimize what he does within the scope of Todd Monken's offense. So, I said those first couple of weeks, I thought the team would be patient, at least publicly, in their stance. I'm sure, and not even I'm sure, I know there's been some frustration and some shoulder shrugging because we've talked about the realities of the running back market and how Dobbins fits into that picture. But I think from a team perspective, John Harbaugh is not going to say this publicly, but J.K. Dobbins is one of those guys. You know what you're getting from him if he's healthy, if he's right, if he's in shape, and by all accounts, he is. And we'll see how he does out on the field. If he tweaks a hamstring the first few days he's practicing, he's going to be under a lot of scrutiny then, and understandably so. But he's one of those guys that probably doesn't need the full assortment of training camp practices to really be ready for the start of the season. So I thought mid-August was always when it made sense. If his most realistic goal, look, he wants a new contract. He wants to be paid, and he wants to be paid handsomely. But if his most realistic goal was, at the very least, I'm going to mitigate some early training camp injury risk from those practices in late July and early August. If that was his most realistic goal, then he appears to have accomplished that and, no worse for wear in terms of rejoining the Ravens on the practice field.
Now he shares an agent with Dalvin Cook, who of course signed for, I guess, the top end of his contract is around 8.6 million. Zeke Elliott's going to the Patriots for, again, between 3 and 6 million. So I don't know if there was any, I don't know if they threw him a bone, if they threw him money, what happened for him to show up. But you correctly predicted weeks ago that this is about the time we would see J.K. Dobbins. And it was great to see J.K. out in the field. And I want to talk about John Harbaugh too, because there's a clip where there's a prolonged hug between John Harbaugh and J.K. and John's really squeezing him, and John's come a long way, from being hardcore iron-fisted coach to now he's a, I'm not going to say he's still up a player's coach, but he has a lot more flexibility than what he did when he started 15 years ago with the Ravens.
Yeah, no question about it. And I think part of that, Dennis, is sometimes you just have to play the game. Let's call a spade a spade. I'm sure the Ravens were frustrated.
Of
They're not going to
course.
come out and say that publicly, but they want their starting running back out on the field, especially when you have a new offensive coordinator, you have all these new moving parts. So there was frustration, but I also think at least to a point. Now, that doesn't mean that they were happy about Dobbins sitting out the first 3 weeks of training camp, but to a point, I think there's some empathy. We've talked, and you and I have talked about this a lot. I mean, the market, it's reality. And you just mentioned some names who were paid very handsomely even a year ago, now not making very much. And we can talk about whether that's right or not, but the market is the market, as is the case for any number of other services and goods that are available for people to purchase. So, I think if you're John Harbaugh, regardless of how you might feel about it privately, does it serve any purpose to be surly with the media, to be surly with Dobbins to his face, anything like that? I'm sure he has his private thoughts about it, but Dobbins back on the field mid-August. You have plenty of time to, almost a full month until they kick off against Houston in week one. So from that standpoint, standpoint, you're right. And I think if you're a coach, however you fancy yourself, players coach, more of an old school, I don't want to say taskmaster, but yeah, you know what I'm talking about as far as how coaches can range. But I think John, having done this now for going into his 16th season, I think he understands that you got to play the game sometimes, and there is business here. It's not coaching in college. It's not being a special teams coordinator. When you're the head coach, you're in charge of everything that happens from a football, day-to-day football process. So, I think from that standpoint, plays the game well. And as you said, it makes for a nice social media post. Fans get the warm and fuzzies, and J.K. Dobbins is back on the field. We'll see how this year plays out. And even more so, we'll see how next offseason plays out. I think that's a different story. But in the meantime, the Ravens want J.K. Dobbins to be great, and he needs to be great to maximize whatever his earning potential is going to be on the market, whether it's the Ravens paying him or one of the 31 other teams.
Ravens cornerback depth continues to be a concern. They certainly had some injuries back there. You're shaking your head for listeners on the radio. Can never have enough corners. That rings in our ears. Ozzie Newsome said so many years ago. This team was bitten hard by injuries at that position. It seems like going back to forever, Luke.
Yeah, and I mean, Dennis, you know me. I've been covering the Ravens a long time, and I'm not someone that's much for hyperbole or recency bias. But when I really look at the state of this cornerback group right now, I don't mean later in the season when you've had a bunch of injuries, like they did 2 years ago, and we all remember what happened against the Bengals in December, right after Christmas when they had COVID issues, they had injuries. Marlon Humphrey was done for the year, but this early stage of the preseason. Knowing that, yes, they still have some time here, and Eric DaCosta could still make a trade. We'll see what happens. I haven't seen a position group look this unsettled, this uncertain at cornerback. Probably have to go back to 2014 for me, and that's when they had Jimmy Smith and they had Ladarius Webb. Great, that looked good on paper, but Shaquie Brown and Asa Jackson, you were hoping to be your number three and number four corners, and I don't know. I look at this group right now and look, Marlon Humphrey's phenomenal. He's one of the best corners in the NFL. Are we? I'm signing off on Rock Ya-Sin being a starter, but he's not what Marcus Peters was a couple years ago. So you have some question there. He's missed time. John Harbaugh said on Monday that he should be back pretty soon. I don't think he's in danger of missing the start of the season, anything like that. But he was a guy that needed reps, needed to get acclimated to this defense, and wasn't necessarily practicing at an extremely high level. But you just look at beyond him, even if we're going to sign off on Yassine and you say, okay, those are your starters. Who's the nickel for this team? Who are the outside corners that you're confident in that if something to one of those guys, and Humphrey's been mostly durable other than, the injury 2 years ago that he had in Pittsburgh that took him out for the remainder of the season. Other than that, he's missed very little time in his NFL career. But Rock Ya-Sin's been a guy that has had nagging injuries and missed some time. So you're going to need depth. And I don't know who that is right now. They have seemed to have moved Brandon Stevens back to outside corner. We saw him play there extensively in the preseason opener. I don't think he's bad there. I think he's someone who's generally there in coverage, but we've seen him over and over struggle to make plays on the ball. But even if we're going to sign off on him, who's your number four? Who's your number five there? I mean, Jalen Armour-Davis, he can't stay healthy. Kevon Seymour's been a good story, and look, I'm an advocate of how well he's played. I've mentioned it on multiple occasions. We talked to him in the locker room after Saturday night's game, but he's been a career special teams guy. I mean, is that really going to translate that if he gets pressed into action, you're going to feel overly confident there? Caillou Kelly, their fifth round rookie draft pick, Dennis, he didn't play until well into the second half on Saturday night.
Well
To
done.
me, that was a sign that they don't think terribly highly of his development and where he is right now. That doesn't mean he won't get there, but if they thought he had a chance to help them sooner rather than later, my goodness, why wouldn't you have him playing in the first half? It was the Eagles' backups. It's not like it was AJ Brown and Devontae Smith out there. So, to me, that was a sign that they don't think he's ready or might not even be close to ready. So, you can hear the urgency of my voice, I have some concern at cornerback. There's no question about it, and it's not so much that these guys aren't going to come back from these injuries. I mean, Jalen Armour-Davis is supposed to be back soon. We did hear about Pepe Williams. He's having another ankle surgery, so he is going to miss the start of the season, but he's not an established guy either. So I just gave you a bunch of ifs. Marlon Humphrey, yes. Number one corner, one of the best in the league. You're not worrying about him. After that, it's a lot of uncertainty with that group. And Dennis, other than obviously your franchise quarterback, and the Ravens know that all too well the last 2 years, and having major issues on your offensive line, there's nothing that will sink a contender's chances of playing deep into January, or in some cases, getting to January, than having those kinds of issues at the cornerback position. So, sure. You know, I don't even feel like I'm sounding the alarm. And that doesn't mean I don't think this is a good football team overall, but that is a position group right now that is not inspiring a whole lot of confidence, because you're counting on some young guys to come forward. And it's very simple. They're just missing time on task right now. You know, those reps on Saturday night against Philadelphia would have been so valuable for a Jalen Armour Davis or Damarian Williams if he was healthy, but they're not. And, you know, or even Rock Ya-Sin for that matter, who's not that experienced. He's still a relatively young player. So not having those guys out there, you know, it's not to say they won't be back in the coming days and they won't still get some reps, but it's just a whole lot of unknown with that group. And, you know, it's one thing to decide you're going to move on from Marcus Peters. And look, I don't think Marcus Peters was the player he was a couple years ago. And certainly we know about his personality and whether that balance is going to be enough there, especially if he's not going to be that legit lockdown corner that he was in his prime. But at the same time, deciding to move on from him is not the same thing as replacing him. And at this point, I'm not confident that the Ravens have done that. And you know, they just have a lot of uncertainty with that secondary. There's a lot of different options and potential as far as moving guys around and safeties playing nickel and what have you. So, you know, I'm not saying the cupboard's bare, but just not a whole lot of proven commodities there that you're necessarily confident in, other than Marlon Humphrey at the top, of course.
Yeah, Ravens also signed DeAndre Houston Carson from the Bears. Bears fans lit up, at least my timeline, said he's a great guy, great addition to the team, special teams ace, but he's a safety. He can't give you any help at corner. Yeah. And now, as you mentioned, if Rock Ya-Sin can't go, teams are going to throw away from Marlon Humphrey anyway. You can bet your bottom dollar that if it's not Rock Ya-Sin, that cornerback, whoever it is, whether it's Brandon Stevens, forced into duty, whomever, they're going to see a lot of action over there.
They are. And I do want to point this out, because I do want to be fair, full disclosure. I mean, this isn't Wink Martindale's defense where they're asking their corners to play a lot of man-on-man, on-an-island kind of defense. You know, they played a lot more zone last year. So it's not even necessarily that you need a great corner opposite Marlon Humphrey, but you certainly need someone that's going to be dependable there. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe the best example would be, and I'm not saying now, obviously, but what Brandon Carr was for the Ravens 4 or 5 years ago. You know, when you think back to when he came in, I mean, it wasn't a Pro Bowl cornerback for the Ravens, but he was out there and generally he gave you really a really high floor on the opposite side of Jimmy Smith at that point. And then of course they worked Marlon Humphrey into the mix as well. So can they identify someone that can give them that kind of play on the opposite side from Marlon Humphrey? Ya-Sin is the guy that they envision doing that. I'm not saying he won't be able to do that, but when he's now missed, you know, at least a couple weeks here with the knee issue, you know, it is a little bit concerning there. And again, you keep in mind, he's been someone who's had some nagging injuries. So, you know, whether it's Tim, whether it's Jalen Armour Davis, whether it's one of the other young guys, you know, Kevon Seymour, who, like I said, good camp story, but is that going to translate? Is it going to hold up against starting caliber wide receivers? You know, that's where I'm a little more uneasy about it. So again, this is a position group. And when you couple that with some of the questions at outside linebacker and your pass rush and Tyus Bowser still not being on the field and, you know, counting on Owe and David Ajabo to take a big leap forward. Yeah. That's a lot of ifs and a lot of unknown that you're counting on two extremely critical position groups to your defense.
Luke, Ben Cleveland is a name that comes up a lot. When the analysts such as yourself are putting together a current, if you will, a 53-man roster, some people have him on a practice squad. Some people have him on the team. He's had some reps at tackle. Is the team trying to showcase his versatility, or are they really looking for a position for him to, in the effort to keep him in the starting 53 after having invested a third-round pick to obtain him?
Well, you and I have talked about Ben Cleveland a lot. We talked about happened with Tyree Phillips last year, where got to the end of the preseason and it was clear that he wasn't going to be a starting guard for them. And I think at that point, because he was a former third round pick, mind you, I think they were looking to trade him. They couldn't. They waived him, and he ended up getting claimed. I think with Ben Cleveland, I think, look, you never really want to move on from a third round pick unless you just feel that. It's not going to happen. I thought as much as he was kind of posterized by Jalen Carter in that highlight, he also had some good reps and I thought he also played well at times. But one of the big knocks on him internally has been that while he's played pretty well in games, he has not been someone who's stacked practice, whether it's because he's just been inconsistent, he hasn't been able to stay on the field. So I think, again, going back to what I was saying about the cornerbacks, time on task, when that's lost for a young player who needs to develop, you just get to a point where it's just like, okay, how much more time are we going to go down this road with this player? It's clear because he didn't play left guard at all in Saturday night's game. He's not in that competition. That's between Big Sala and that's between John Simpson at this point in time. So I think the question for him, it could be some of what you mentioned as far as potentially trying to showcase him, but I think there's also an element to, they know that Kevin Zeitler is going to be a free agent after this year. Who knows what's going to happen there? So, how does he look at right guard? How does he look at right tackle? If you're going to be a reserve, if you're not going to be one of the five starting offensive linemen, you got to play multiple positions, or at least know how to play multiple positions, because that's the gig. When you don't have a starting job, you've got to be able to move around because you don't know what's going to happen, and you don't have a backup for every position. So I think it could be potentially some trade showcase potential, but I also think they're trying to see if, hey, can he play multiple positions? Because if not, then he's not a very valuable offensive lineman to keep as a depth piece. So I think it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And I think a big factor here in my latest 53-man roster projection, I had him on the wrong side of the bubble. For me, it comes down to this. I think when you have when you're talking about left guard, whether it's John Simpson or it's Big Sala, if they decide to go with the sixth round rookie, how confident are they in him to hold down that job? If they feel emphatically that he's a guy, no questions asked, then maybe they move on from John Simpson. Maybe they try to get him on the back on the practice squad and they go with Big Sala. But if it's a little more neck and neck, or if John Simpson wins that job, then I think it's much tougher to keep Ben Cleveland, because then you'd be looking at keeping what 10 offensive linemen at
Right.
that point in time. I'm not saying it's impossible. And look, there's going to be a couple injuries, and they'll move a guy to IR, whatever ends up happening. They got two more preseason games, so that's kind of inevitable that you'll lose someone. Even whether hopefully it's just not a overly important critical player for them. So I'm not saying you can't make room for him. I'm not saying he's definitely not going to make the team, but I do think you look at where Ben Cleveland is. He's not in the mix at left guard, so he's got to play multiple positions. And if he can't do that, if they don't have a high enough confidence level in him to do that, then I could see him ultimately getting that Tyree Phillips treatment at the end of the preseason, where they try to trade him, and if not, they waive him, see if he gets through waivers, and if he gets claimed, he gets claimed.
Yeah, no question about that. Got to quickly mention Justin Tucker. I don't know if it was he or somebody else, but they said, hey, 40 is the new, or 60 is the new 40 for him.
That
He,
was me,
it
yeah.
was you. Man, great, great tweet. And I can talk about that as I'm approaching 60. I hope it's the new 40. But he just casually hits a 60-yarder with room to spare, Luke.
Yeah, I mean it's incredible. And look, I say this all the time with Nestor, and I felt this way. Gosh, I felt this way probably close to a decade. I mean, I don't know what to say about Justin Tucker because it's just been said, and he just continues to do it. I do think what's probably more meaningful about that, I mean, we've seen Justin Tucker hit a 66-yard field goal, so 60, no biggie, right? One, he made it look so easy, but two, and I think this is the most important point. I think if there was any lingering question, and this isn't necessarily something that's on the forefront of fans' minds, but with them having lost Nick Moore to the torn Achilles, they bring in Tyler Ott as the long snapper. Their operation as specialist, Jordan Stout punted really well, had a couple great punts, and Justin Tucker hits a 60-yard field goal with ease. To me, that should remove any meaningful doubts about Tyler Ott's ability to be their long snapper. But you're right. I mean, Justin Tucker, It's just that he made it look so casual. He made it look so easy. I mean, it's a 60-yarder, and he split the uprights. You know, it's
Yeah.
there's I just don't know what else to say, because I mean, we're guy's gonna be a Hall of Fame kicker. He's on a path. I mean, he has to do it for more years, but absolutely on the path to being the greatest kicker in NFL history, as long as he does it for, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 more years, something like that. Probably would help him to get another Adam Vinatieri kind of moment, if we're being honest. But clearly he needs the rest of the team to help him on that front. But I think, you know, it is amazing to see what he does. But I thought that was a not the most interesting point to come out of Saturday's game, but still an important one for the Ravens, that
Sure.
their specialist operation looked like it didn't miss a beat, even though they have a new long snapper.
Yeah, we're certainly running out of superlatives to describe his performance, given the new battery that he has to work with. Second one in the last 2 seasons, of course, due to different situations. The Ravens have an offer to at least Jadeveon Clowney. They've had a couple other guys in for visits. So somebody, this roster isn't done, Luke. Somebody's going to have to go once they need to sign an edge rusher or run stopper, either way, but this roster is still not settled.
Yeah, frankly, it shouldn't be. I mean, you heard me talk about my angst over the cornerback position, but you just said it. I mean, outside linebacker right now. I mean, Tyus Bowser, I flat out asked John Harbaugh on Monday, you know, is there concern that he's not going to be ready for the start of the season? And he said, no, they're at this point, they're confident he's going to be ready. Apparently, some of the swelling, you know, it's odd, because all understanding is the Achilles is no longer an issue for him, but this is a knee issue that he's dealing with. And, you know, it's just one of those deals where it was problematic in the offseason. He's on the NFI list, so I don't know if he injured it, you know, working out. You know, I haven't heard that there's anything shady about it. And, you know, just to be clear, I'm not implying that, but, you know, they're just in a room with him where John Harbaugh called the knee, quote, agitated. And he's just been dealing with swelling and hasn't been able to get on the practice field. But because of that scenario, and if it's something that's more something that could potentially linger and not an injury per se, but, you know, and again, who knows what the deal is? Is it tendonitis? What is it? But that just means even more so that they need to bring in another veteran. And we know that they visited with Kyle Van Noy a few weeks ago. They recently visited with Jadeveon Clowney. Both of those guys, you know, while Van Noy, not known for his pass rushing prowess, you know, good in coverage, good to be able to play, set the edge and play the run. Clowney, certainly known more as being the first overall pick and pass rush potential, even though he's never really consistently put up big sack totals. But he's a good run defender too. And that's something that, whether Bowser is right or not, they need more of that, because, you know, Oweh at times looks good doing it, other times has struggled with it. You know, I think there's confidence that Ajabo eventually will be a good run defender, but we even saw on a couple occasions in Saturday night's game, he got caught crashing inside. And on one occasion, Mariota leaked out and picked up a first down running on third and long. So, you know, Tavius Robinson, he's a rookie. You know, how much can you really expect him to do for you in that regard? So they need at least one veteran to bring in, and you'd like it to be someone that can do a little bit of both, right? A little pass rush juice for you, as well as playing the run. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. Anytime you have these kind of visits, if you've identified a player, a veteran that you like, typically it comes down to two things. One, the big one, you know, the paramount one being money. And two, sometimes it's a veteran player that's not in a major rush to get into training camp. And that's okay to a point, but we are getting, you know, we're getting down to the point where you're going to start hearing the clock ticking for the start of the season. And if you're going to bring someone in, you want to give them enough time to get acclimated to the defense. So we'll see. You know, certainly, you know, we know they made an offer to Clowney. John Harbaugh said the door is still open. He has since visited with Jacksonville, although it sounds like there wasn't going to be a deal there. You know, in fact, it sounds like an offer wasn't made. So, you know, who knows? Clearly, he's trying to, you know, get a little bit of more money out of
Sure.
the Ravens or whoever it might be, which is his right. So we'll see how it plays out. But yeah, between corner and their outside linebacker picture, tough to fathom they wouldn't bring in. I'd like to see a veteran at both of those positions brought in, but, you know, there are only so many guys available right now, and you're gonna have to pay, you know, especially if it's someone that's in demand from some other teams.
Yeah, Mariota was certainly a good test for the defense. The young guys, they got looks that they wouldn't ordinarily see with a classic drop back quarterback, and as you mentioned, the new edge rushers. They got a bit of a lesson last Saturday night.
No question about it. I think with what we saw from the defense overall, there's a whole lot to not necessarily like in the first half. Some of those guys I thought played better in the second half, but I think you got an idea of why the Eagles are the defending NFC champions. They got a lot of depth on their roster, and they didn't even play their starters, and yet they still gave the Ravens no shortage of problems in that first half. So, what does that mean? Not a whole lot, I don't think. But to your point, guys like Ajabo, younger guys that were out there, that they certainly benefited from reps and putting some putting those reps on tape and going up against someone that you're not familiar with to see how they fare. So, in Ajabo's case, some good and some not so good, which is probably what you expect from someone who is still basically a rookie, considering how limited his practice time and his certainly his playing time was last year.
Well, before I let you go, Luke, just your thoughts and comments on the Orioles. Of course, Cedric Mullins making a phenomenal return, right? You couldn't have scripted that one better.
Yeah, I mean, that series in Seattle was just incredible. It really was. I mean, they didn't swing the bats well. They got their butts kicked on Friday night, which was on the heels of a really tough Houston series, as you and I talked about last week. So, I think after that Friday night, you're kind of worried. I mean, the Mariners had been the hottest team in baseball, and they figure out a way to win two games in extra innings. I mean, it was Felix Bautista doing what he did on Saturday night in the 1-0 game in 10 innings, and then on Sunday it was the Cedric Mullins show. But so they keep rolling, and even against San Diego on Monday night, Grayson Rodriguez, I don't know if you had a chance to see it, Dennis, but that was as dominant as we've seen Grayson Rodriguez look. And we know that there's a reason why he was the top pitching prospect in baseball over the last year or so, one of the top pitching prospects in baseball. And he's pitched well since he's returned, since the All-Star break, he's pitched well. But Monday night, to me, that kind of felt like the arrival in terms of that guy looked like he looked like a dude. He looked like a number one starter. He looked like an ace pitching seven strong innings the way he did. Gives up the solo homer, and then he strikes out three in a row right after that. I mean, that was impressive. So, I mean, what else can we say? We've talked about some of the concerns about this team. We know on the pitching side, the bullpen, the number of young starters they have that are, getting to or blowing past their career high in innings. They're going to have to manage that. They've gone to a six-man rotation at this point. So, there are things about this team that you have some concerns about when you look at it on paper, but it's uncanny just their ability to get the job done. And I was talking about this with a reporter the other day, that so many times you hear about, a team that's resilient and, they never quit, all those different narratives that you hear about in sports. And a lot of times I kind of feel those narratives are overused, but this team's ability to just find a way to win games, it truly has been uncanny. And it's why they're in first place and why they're going to make the playoffs and why they have a heck of a chance of, who knows, maybe being the number one seed and earning that first round bye. That would certainly be nice in terms of being able to set up their pitching staff the way Brandon Hyde would like.
Yeah, it's been a very long time since we've talked about the Orioles like we're doing right now. It sure is a lot of fun, man. It's great going to the park, great talking to the fan base about them, and it's a lot of great energy surrounding the team.
No question about it. It's fun. And we're going to see how it plays out the rest of the way. You hope they stay healthy. Mullins is back. Aaron Hicks came off the IL. They did have to send Colton Cowser down, which, I didn't like to see, but I understand it. I mean, he was really struggling to a point where, it's tough to put him in the lineup. And, you hope he goes down to Norfolk, resets for a couple weeks, and who knows, maybe he'll be back come September and can still help them, because I think he still has a high ceiling. But there's so much to like about this team right now. Even with some of their imperfections, they're still finding ways to win games. And by the way, they've been beating, maybe not the Padres here as much, because they've been, along with the Mets, the most disappointing team in baseball, but they've done it against really good competition. They've been beating winning teams. And even when they lose a series like they did against the Astros, they found a way to avoid getting swept, and they bounce back and they get the last game of that series. If your formula is winning series and then avoiding sweeps,
It works.
you're going to be in good position by the end of the season. And that's what the Orioles have done now for, going on close to 5 months now.
All right, Luke, please tell our listeners where they can find your social media, all the great stuff you do for WNST, Baltimore Positive, your blog, and everything else.
Absolutely. I encourage everyone to follow us on Twitter at WNST. You can follow me personally at Baltimore Luke. Check out my blog at BaltimorePositive.com, Coons for the Baltimore. The latest on the Ravens, I have my 12 Ravens thoughts from every day of practice. Orioles thoughts, certainly as they wind down this West Coast trip and they'll be returning home, we'll have plenty there. You want to be on the WNST Baltimore Positive text service sponsored by Coons for the Baltimore. Any significant local sports news sent directly to your mobile device via the WNST Baltimore Positive text service. And of course, anything on AM 1570 with Nestor. Any Raven sound from Owings Mills, Orioles interviews from Oriole Park at Camden Yards. You can check out all of that in the audio vault at BaltimorePositive.com.
All right, Luke, as always, I appreciate your time. You do a fantastic job of covering the Ravens and Orioles. I know you got a busy day ahead of you.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Dennis. We'll talk next week. We'll have plenty to talk about.
No question about it. There it goes. Luke Jones here on 1570 AM. WNST. We'll take a quick break and come back right after this.